This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. Here is a nomination for Most Promising First Sentence of a book to arrive recently in the mail, or at least longest first sentence.
It sometimes happens in our experience that though we possess many beautiful and valuable bits of information, we lack that very one for which we have immediate need. And like the lady who glories in 9 Rose Point berths and perforce remains away from the horse show for want of linen collar and cuffs, we may know quite glibly that the nation's chief in faraway Washington is addressed as His Excellency, and yet pucker our brows in vain bewilderment as to whether plain little next-door Lucy is our dear Mrs. Gray or simply dear Lucy since she came home from the honeymoon.
That's Susan Westmoreland, who's reading from what is not really a new book, but a reissue of The Good Housekeeping Hostess, which was published almost a century ago in 1904. Susan Westmoreland is food director of Good Housekeeping magazine and joins us from New York City. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Robert.
And while I want you to share with us some vintage guidance for the 4th of July today, before doing that, can you help me unpucker my vainly bewildered brow over those 9-point rose berths and the horse show? What was that about?
I think it's about that, we know the big picture, but sometimes we just get caught in the little details and we question ourselves. And if she's Dear Lucy before, she should be Dear Lucy after.
Tell us about this 1904 Good Housekeeping Hostess. Was this the one and only such volume that the magazine published?
It was indeed, and I've spent lots of time with it and found that this initial chapter on social life and obligations still has lots to tell us that we really should still pay attention to.
And then there are all sorts of menus and suggestions for decor, for entertaining, things like the Omar Khayyam dinner, which I can't imagine too many people have given recently, but it must have been all the rage in 1904.
Yes, the table appointments and the menus are quite elaborate and I think assume a fair amount of household help, so we're probably not going to be cooking much from the book. But it really is all about entertaining and being gracious, and obviously there was a lot more formality back in 1904.
Which brings us to our extract from the time capsule here for Independence Day. You have a piece in there by one L.A. Brown, which is all about a luncheon for Independence Day. Why don't you, first of all, read some of that for us?
For Independence Day, the complaint has often been made by very young ladies, and frequently by older young ladies, that 4th of July was a day much more enjoyed by boys and young men than the members of their sex. There are ways, however, in which the young lady may both enjoy and celebrate the occasion. An Independence Day party is one of these.
And there follows a menu and a suggestion of how you should decorate everybody's place. My favorite, actually, is it says that at each plate, place a paper or muslin flag for a napkin, and then upon each plate mount a formidable cannon made by securing 2 oranges and a banana with a long wooden or metal pin. A tiny flag stuck in the lower end of the banana will add to the effect.
Yes, the table decorations are, there's lots of bunting, it's assumed that everyone will have a flag, and they're talking about getting an oversized American eagle as the centerpiece to be draped in a flag.
But the menu includes, for example, United States soup, which is a terrific idea. Why don't you tell us what United States soup
is? I love the United States soup, and I can picture these women. United States soup. For the United States soup, any light stock will do. Into this place a quantity of macaroni letters U and S. Macaroni now comes stamped out in all the letters of the alphabet. So you can picture this hostess or her cook going through and picking out all the U's and the S's to get this perfect soup.
And then you would have such things as roast sirloin of American beef, roast lamb, U.S. min sauce, our native bird.
Which is, of course, the turkey. And it's very interesting to me. We just came out with a grilling book for summer, and, you know, it's still a lot of people are cooking beef on 4th of July, and it's an American thing, and that's sort of the tradition. I think there's a factoid from somewhere that says that the most beef grilled is on the 4th of July, and it's the most grilled thing.
Not a whole lot of salads here, not a lot of interest anyway in the salad in this book.
We've got some blue cabbage coleslaw.
You mean it's the red, white, and blue to have something
blue.
Yes, right. For this Independence Day luncheon, it was also suggested one should have Indian pudding.
Which I love. I'm a New England girl, so I think Indian pudding is a fabulous thing. Not colorful, so we have to get some other red, white, and blue things in there. And we've got a Washington pie, which is, of course, a cherry pie, and a pinwheel, which would basically be a jelly roll sliced into wheels.
Do you think that lots and lots of readers of Good Housekeeping were actually making meals like these and making parties like these? Or was this more of a fantasy that you would read about what sort of party you might make if indeed you had a lot of help in the house and a large dining room and an infinite amount of time to prepare a luncheon or a dinner.
I think it was really a guidebook. I think this is almost the, you know, the fantasy. As we look at cookbooks today with lots of photographs in them and menu suggestions, we may pick and choose from the menu and not do every single thing that's on it. This is just the fantasy, the wish list menu.
Well, Susan Westmoreland, thank you very much for talking
thank
with
you,
us
Robert.
Today. Susan Westmoreland, food director of Good Housekeeping magazine, which has released a facsimile publication of The Good Housekeeping Hostess, published in 1904.